Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Quinn and Chris. Scraby's got the beard.
Thank you.
Well, if you're wondering, you're watching on YouTube and you couldn't figure out which of us was which. And by the way, just always a reminder, every now and again, we'd like to remind that we are on YouTube. You can watch the show. If you've not yet ever experienced that or tried it, go to YouTube, right? And type in 97.3 The Fan or type in Gwyn and Chris.
Yep.
Either one. Yep. And you can watch.
Oh no, not Quinn and Chris. Sorry.
Oh, that won't work.
It would be harder to find if you go to if you search for 97.3 space the space fan.
You're better off.
You're better off because then you'll find the exact page, and then you'll see that the ring around the logo is red, which means we're live. So you click that.
Click that. All right. Thank you, Scraby. Phillies lead the Dodgers 1-0 top of 6. Right now, Dodgers are the only undefeated team in baseball, as the Padres fell for the first time this year. Cubs 3, Padres 1 at Wrigley Field today. Frankly, the Cubs did all the little things right, and the Padres did a couple of little things not so right. That was the difference in this game. The Cubs only had 3 hits in the entire game, by the way, all singles. You're not going to lose too many games if you allow the other team only 3 singles, none of which even drove in a run. Well, no, I take it back. Justin Turner's infield single did drive in that one run on the bang-bang force play at second base. But, you know, the Padres walked 7. The Padres hit a batter. Padres coughed up a stolen base today. Martin Maldonado couldn't find the handle. Anyway, and on the other side, the Cubs made, you know, 2 incredible plays in the 9th inning that were either lucky or they were good or both, that, you know, allowed them to hang on to that lead. Ryan Pressly, trying to close it out, had to throw 33 pitches, but he was able to get Jake Cronenworth with the last of those with the tying runs at second and third base. Jackson Merrill had 2 more hits today. His hitting streak's already at 8. That is the second longest to start a season by a Padre over the last 20 years. Justin Upton, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't here long. He had a 10 to start the season, but Merrill keeps on going. The one big one was in the 9th inning when he hit the line drive to left center field that Pete Crow Armstrong dove for, a full-out dive, couldn't get to it, but had it luckily short hop right into his glove to keep all the runners from advancing, Jackson Merrill to end up on third and completely maybe turn that game around. So that's what it came down to today. Randy Vasquez, terrible first inning. I mean, I wanted to strangle him. Throw
wow.
strikes.
Wow.
I can't stand it when they can't throw a strike.
It's you not know, his fault. He's trying to throw strikes.
I know, and you can't yell it. I know all you Little League coaches think it works. When your Little League kid is out there walking the yard and you give it the old, come on, Andy, throw strikes. You know, like, really? I mean, this is not, that's not going to solve the problem.
Were we surprised, though? This is kind of his M.O.
He
gets off to a rocky start, and then he finds it, and he's able to somehow keep the damage limited.
Oh, he really did. I mean, you know, the first inning, he gave up, got the first batter, and then went to a 3-1 count, went to another 3-1 count, and then went walk, walk, walk. I mean, they're lucky it was only 1-0.
Totally.
You know, at the end of that
100%.
First inning.
Like, he could have easily been out.
Could have been game over.
Yeah, could have been.
You know, one big hit. But anyway, after that, you're right. He did great. He got 12 in a row. Just started buzzing through the lineup. And then in the fifth inning, again, back-to-back walks. But I don't blame him for either of those two walks. Those were amazing takes. One by Kyle Tucker on a pitch that was that much off the corner. And then a great take by Seiya Suzuki on a curveball that was right on the corner and just broke outside by that much. That's either they were both fooled and just got lucky, or those were great takes. And that set up the ground ball that Turner hit. With two outs and the bases loaded, Bogarts got into the hole, got to it, smothered it, threw to second, too late on the force. And then the next batter hit a sharp ground ball wide to third that Manny could not handle for an error. And those were the two runs that made the difference in the end.
You know, they always, I mean, Manny doesn't make errors often, but it always feels like it's a huge moment that Manny makes an error, but that's because we notice it. When he makes the play, we don't really notice it.
Well,
we just know he made the play.
When Jerry Rice, if this ever happened, but when Jerry Rice dropped an open pass.
Never happened.
But if it did, they showed it on TV 100 times.
Yeah, because it's something that doesn't happen.
Right. Manny also made two or three dazzlers today. How about the one where he ran over to the third base stands and then made a basket catch right up against the screen.
He's pretty good at that.
Made it look so easy.
He's pretty good at that.
He made a couple of great plays today, but he didn't get that one. So 3-1 Cubs win. Imanaga was really good, and he is really good. Scraby and I talked about this. He's the best. I think he's the best, you know, Japanese pitcher.
That's come over in the last, like,
that's,
4 years?
With all due respect, Darvish is, you know, has a better.
But I'm saying there's more pitchers now.
Right. But Darvish has a better career, you know, package than Imanaga. But right now, Imanaga is even better than Darvish. He's that good.
He's as advertised.
And he doesn't throw strike. I mean, he doesn't walk anybody. He throws strikes, and he throws them with all his pitches. So you can't sit on anything. He pitched well. Tomorrow, Nick Pivetta will go for the Padres.
I'm excited for that.
Try to keep them from having their first losing streak of the year. As Scraby said, though, earlier, as I agreed, pretty obvious after 8 games that the Padres are unbeatable at home and just can't win on the road.
I
think it's
true.
Pretty clear.
The numbers prove it.
As a matter of fact, they ought to just come home tomorrow and forfeit the rest of this road trip.
Yeah,
cannot win on the road.
No, I want them to go to Sacramento because that place seems like it's going to be a home run derby. They were worried about the Mexico City game? Maybe they should be worried about the Sacramento games.
The way the Cubs hit there this week, the Padres should be looking forward to it. One more thing about today, Martin Maldonado accounted for the only run with a home run. Padres have now hit 7 home runs this year. 6 of them solo. So
And only one player has more than one home run.
Jackson Merrill.
That's right.
Who extended to an 8-game hit streak. I think I already mentioned that in this segment.
You can mention it like 5 more times if you want.
All right.
Jackson Merrill has an 8-game hit streak.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Hey, Chris, did you know Jackson Merrill has an 8-game hit streak?
After 2 hits today.
I mean, he's just clutch. He's just clutch. I'm telling you, I said it on the round table. He is stay in your car guy or don't go to the bathroom guy.
What's the matter with this guy? He came up in the 9th inning today with the tying run.
And he didn't hit a home run.
And he did not homer to tie the game. This is what we've come to expect. You know, he did that last year 6 times.
6.
Over hit a tying or winning homer. In the 8th inning or later.
That was an incredible stretch.
He did that 6 times last year. You know who did it second most last year with 5?
Not Paul Skeens.
Jerkson Profar.
Oh.
Did it 5 times.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Of course.
Do we feel weird about mentioning Jurickson Profar in a like in anything that he did in a Padres uniform? Because I don't think he was doing the stuff that he, the PEDs when he was with the Padres. But now, sometimes I think about it, I'm like, can I really believe that? And I don't want to be like that, Chris, but that's who I am.
I think a lot of people are in that camp.
Where are you?
I you know, it's hard to be either place. But it's hard right now to look back on Jurickson Profar's season last year, which was magical.
It was magical.
And we said it a million times. And he was on the All-Stars for the first time in his career, put up numbers consistently that he'd never put up before. It is hard to look at that and 100% not have it seep into your mind that he used this year. So, obviously, you make the connection. Could he have, you know, just gotten away with it last year? I think it's pretty natural to think it. But on the other side, I look at a guy like Fernando, who got, you know, busted for the same thing.
And they worked out, and so those are extra tentacles that...
2022 for Fernando, was that? Where he missed the rest of the season?
No, 23.
He wasn't in the playoffs because...
That was 2022.
22, thank you. It's now been 3 years. When Fernando comes up, I don't look at him anything other than just a superstar ball player.
No, you're right about that.
So time does have a way of healing some of this stuff, but the Profar thing is so fresh. Yes, I don't think you can look back on last year without at least questioning it for a second in your mind, maybe longer.
The chat is saying he was tested last year, so we're good. And I do agree with that. He did say in his statement that he was tested 8 times last year, and he passed every single test.
Right.
And I do think, I can't remember the chatter's name, but they said that what they think happened was he signs a big contract. He wanted to pay off on that contract, so he tried to look to get ahead, and he got caught.
Here's my... that explains... it's a good explanation. It could,
it
be, the right, it could
yeah.
be the right one.
It's, but, it's not crazy.
But let me also throw this at you. If he was not cheating ever before... And last year said 8 times got tested, was never, you know, wasn't even a question. He wasn't, you know, he never took anything. Would he risk it this year? In any year? Would any player take something knowingly? He already got the money.
He did.
I mean, would you take something knowingly, knowing that now they can catch you? I don't think these guys ever take something thinking they're going to get caught.
Oh, well, that's for sure true.
Okay.
That's for sure true, but you are going to get caught.
But it, well, I don't know.
Eventually, you're going to get caught. You're going to slip up.
Maybe there's some players that have been doing it and just haven't ever been caught.
That could be true, too. All of these things could be true.
Do we really think... it's? This is a cheap shot, but I'm going to...
But you're going to take it?
I'm going to take it. Do we really believe that Kobe Bryant only cheated on his wife one time, 1 week moment?
This is a cheap shot, for sure.
It's a cheap shot, but... I, you know, everybody said that was a one-time thing, and he got caught, and he got blamed, and he got sued. Remember that whole thing in Colorado?
Course, of course, of course.
The odds are that it probably happened more than once, and this time it just landed on him. I'm just saying. So in the case of Profar, I guess is what I mean, is that it's hard to believe that he's never tried it before, and he's probably just, you know, hasn't been caught before. Sorry, we got to take a break.
No, I know. I go back and forth on this all the time.
Yeah. All right, I got to take a break. We got a countdown. It's next on Gwen and Chris.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at Beaumont Health KS.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Gwen and Chris, 5-9 time. Dodgers still trailing the Phillies, 1-0. It's in the seventh inning now in Philadelphia. Padres fell today for the first time this year. Cubs come out on top, 3-1. And so the Padres are now 7-1. 5:20 the time. It's a Friday. Time for our countdown, Scraby. Something we do each and every week. We pick a topic. We count down our five favorites. I think this one's going to be somewhat embarrassing.
I think it's going to be fun.
At least for me.
Can I do something real quick before we get into the countdown? Because it's the happy hour, Chris, and the happy hour is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball is back, and so is swim season. Call now and mention radio for a free month of pool service. That's radio for a free month of pool service. GL Pools, thank you for sponsoring our happy hour.
We're happy that you do.
Yes, very happy.
Let's go to the countdown.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, today's category, top five things that you obsess over.
Unnecessarily obsess over.
Of course. And most things that you obsess over are unnecessary to obsess over. There's no reason to obsess over anything, really. Just relax, see what happens.
Okay.
But there are things that we all obsess over, and I'm going to find this to be really embarrassing when I give all mine.
Really?
Number five.
For that reason, I'm going to have you go first.
Okay. My number five is I obsess over how do I describe this? I obsess over timing in the day, during weekdays specifically. If I don't have at least three big five topics in the dock before I go and get ready to go to work, I will obsess about it all the way down on the drive. I will obsess about it walking up here. I will be worried that I'm not going to get the job done. And so I obsess over this all. Same thing goes for a guest. If we don't have a guest booked or anything, I will obsess over the fact that we don't, and it will consume me on the drive down here. So that's my number five. Hmm.
Considering there are days when we don't get a guest, how do you live with yourself?
I realize comments like that are coming, so I just live with myself.
Number five for me is that I am obsessed with having to neaten up and straighten up my world. And this is a OCD part of what I do, but my wife gets mad all the time.
She does?
Well, she gets mad because I throw away emails.
Trash email? Oh,
no, I throw them away.
Are we talking digitally?
Yeah, digitally. When I get emails, I look at them, and then I'm never going to need this again. I just swipe delete. I don't like having a bunch of emails.
How many are in your inbox right now?
I don't know exactly, but there's none that haven't been read, and there's also none that I feel are not there for a reason. Immediately, if I get a phone message or a voicemail or a text, I have to look at it because I hate that little red bulb that comes up with a number two saying, I have two texts I haven't yet read. I have to clear that.
You would
hate
me because I have 6 text messages I have not opened, and okay, it's just telling me I have a notification.
I can't do it. I clear the history on my phone. I reset my phone where you close all the tabs. Do this constantly. I'm obsessed.
Chris's list is going to be good because I just know it.
Number four.
This one is something I don't think you can really identify with, but it's when I play video games and I can't beat a level, I cannot stop until I beat that level. Ugh. It's some sort of addiction in my brain where have I'm you, like, I have to beat the level.
Have you stayed up all night, not gone to bed?
Never all
of
night,
this?
But I will wake up and play it as soon as I wake up because it's on my mind still and I've been thinking about how to beat the level. But that's my number four, is beating a video game level. I will think about it until it's done.
Yeah. All right. I get you. I don't play video games, but I did, and I like to, you know, improve levels as well.
Yes.
Number four is also an OCD thing, and you know this is embarrassing to me, but it's my world. I set up my football helmets every week, and during the regular season, I have them matching up against each other based on the schedule.
It's like the Monday Night Football thing where they used to take the helmets and they put them like facing each other, and then they would smash together.
Yeah, well, I don't smash them. Well, I just leave them together.
You got to do that.
And during the off season, I keep the helmets in the order of the final standings so I can refer back. I have baseball helmets as well that I keep the standings over as well. So each and every 2 weeks when my cleaning lady comes, our cleaning lady comes, she picks them all up, wipes off the counter, you
and
know, the shelf,
them.
And then jumbles them all.
Yeah.
First thing when I come home, on a day when the cleaning lady has been there, I go right upstairs and set them right up the way they're supposed to be. I can do nothing else.
It's
gotta
so
be
funny.
Set up correctly.
It's so funny.
I know. I told you I was gonna embarrass myself. That's embarrassing to me, but it's what I have to do.
Number three.
Now, my number three is character defect. It's definitely a character defect. But when someone wrongs me, there is an obsession that goes in my head of like, not how can I get even, but how can I make them feel the pain that I'm feeling right now, type of thing.
Okay.
And it's been a lot better since I stopped drinking, but it's still there. Things that bother me will stay with me for too long, and I obsess over things like that, unfortunately.
All right, number three for me doesn't exist any longer, but it's something that did exist. And it's obsessing over something you absolutely can't do anything about. But having been married for 30-plus, this situation does not come up anymore. But back in the day, and there are still voicemails, I guess, so it's not back in the day. But did you ever call some girl that you were hoping to, you know, go out with or meet up with or something, and they didn't answer, so you left the voicemail?
I've never had that happen. They always answer, Chris.
All right. So we all have done this.
Yes, of course.
Don't you spend about the next 16 hours thinking about every word you said, hoping that it doesn't get somehow misconstrued?
I would like to take my number three and make it that.
Okay.
That is a perfect one, because yes. And then, this is embarrassing for me to say, but if I text someone and they don't text me back and I'm like excited about this person, then I will just be like, oh, well, maybe they didn't get the text message. I'm going to go see if it's, you know.
Or you'll go back and look at the text and go, maybe they read that wrong and I gave them the wrong indication that I didn't mean to do.
I put the wrong emoji and now they think I'm mad.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one, Chris. That is a really good one.
I think
one.
A lot of us all do this. And I think updating it would be the text, where you send a text to somebody, a friend, anybody, and they just don't get back to you. You have no reason or deal why they're not getting back to you. Maybe their phone is not even with them.
Yeah.
But if they don't get back to you soon enough, you think that you must have done something wrong in your text to upset them.
I feel like people think that when I don't get back to them in a timely fashion that I'm ignoring them. Because on the weekends, I do a lot of phone in my bedroom, and I'm not going to have it around me. But when I text Chris and he doesn't get back to me, I know it's likely that he doesn't have his phone on him. But when you text me and I don't get back to you for hours, you're probably like, that stupid Scraby is looking at his phone, ignoring me right now.
We'll take a break. We'll do our top two when we come back. Also,
no, we can keep going.
What?
We're going to 33. We're going to finish this. I'm sorry.
Wow. Executive decision.
Yes.
Made by Matt Scraby.
Yes.
All right. What's number two then for you?
My number two is the space around me. Everybody knows that I really, really loved COVID's social distancing. I like it when people are not so close to me. Like if Tony comes behind me and stands behind me, I obsess about him standing behind me and I try to move
away
from
him.
In
which way do you obsess? I don't understand. This just seems like something you're uncomfortable about. How do you obsess?
To find the space. Like I get uncomfortable. When Tony stands behind me, Chris, you've seen this many times, I will start moving my chair away from him and then he will start moving with me because he knows it bothers me. I will obsess to find open space.
Okay. I won't go near you anymore.
That's true. He won't. I appreciate that.
I'm a hugging type of person. I hug most people that I haven't seen in a while, and I hug people that I like and, you know, am friendly with when I see them. Not you.
You know what's good? I really appreciate that because you're respecting me. My mom has to beg for hugs, and I need to change that.
And I don't need a big, you know, I just need a little arm around the shoulder.
Hi, like,
good
what's
to
up,
see
buddy?
You. Yeah. But
all
not
right.
not you.
What's your number two?
You're going to laugh again. My two digital clocks that are in the kitchen, one is on the stove, one is on the microwave. They have to click over to the new minute time at the exact same moment.
Oh, that is next level.
Next level. I cannot...
You're not going to be looking at both of them at the same time.
Mine are pretty close together. One's here, one's there. I sit there, and when I set the clocks, usually just once, twice a year, I set the clocks at the daylight savings time. I will set one at 8:25 or whatever. The other one... I will set at 8:26, but I will not push start until the exact second that the previous one clicks to 8:26, and now they're both in sync.
That
it is imperative.
Is why I wanted to do this list.
Imperative. And I don't like it when I go to your house or anyone else's out there. I mean, not you, but anyone's.
Where
your stove clock and your microwave clock are off by 40 seconds or even a couple of minutes sometimes in some cases. How do you live with yourself?
See, that doesn't bother me. But I can understand
why
you would
crazy,
want it.
Drives me crazy, man. I can't stand it. I have my wife will say, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm syncing up the clock. She goes, oh, yeah. She knows what I'm doing.
Chris pulls out an atomic clock.
They have to be exact.
That is really funny. I've never heard you say that ever, 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 ever. So you would hate my car because my car is 5 minutes fast.
I still, if one clock is fast and there's not another one.
My phone is the right time and I could see that on my screen. And then I have my car clock is 5 minutes fast, so I'm not late.
No good.
No good. All right.
Number one.
My number one is something that I cannot stop doing, and it's stuff that I know I shouldn't be worried about, but it's, did I lock the door when I left?
That's OCD, you know.
I know it is. Did I turn off the stove when I left? I haven't used the stove in like six months, but did I turn off the stove? Did I bump the stove and turn it on somehow?
That's a different style of OCD.
Chris, when I lived in San Francisco before I was on medications and stuff, there was a time where I was late to work because I had to go back and check my apartment three times to make sure the front door was locked. And then I would sit there, look at myself, locking the door so that I could mental note, hey, you don't need to come back here. But yeah, that's it.
That's flat out.
I know it is.
OCD.
I'm well aware.
I knew somebody that used to drive down the street, and if there was a bump in the road, they could not convince themselves that they hadn't just run over a person. And they'd have to go back around and make sure.
There's something else going on there with OCD.
Here's my number one. You know this. I obsess over not hearing the scores of games that I don't want to hear the scores of.
That's a good one. That's a perfect number one for you.
I've yelled. My wife's been on the phone before with somebody who I perceive may say the score. And even though I can't hear that person, I will still yell across the room, tell them I don't want to hear the score. My wife's like, I know.
But we're not talking about
it. But it doesn't matter because in my mind, the other person may say the score even out of the thin blue air. And I don't want to know it.
Yeah,
so
you
that's my number one obsessive thing.
About that. You also don't like to watch your favorite teams in studio.
Nah, because, well, that's not an obsession. That's honestly to try and pay more close attention to the show. I get too distracted if one of my teams is playing and then I'm watching the game. That's just a distraction issue.
Okay. That was a funner list than I thought. More fun list than I thought.
Yeah, well, I'm embarrassed. There's our five things that we're obsessed about the most. Our interview of the week I'm obsessed with. That's coming up next.
That is happy.
3-0 Phillies, bottom of the seventh over the Dodgers. So perhaps by night's end, there will be no undefeated teams, although the Dodgers to them. So Don't celebrate just yet. Padres fell to the Cubs 3-1 earlier today, their first loss of the young season. Padres now 7-1. They'll send Nick Pivetta out there at Wrigley Field tomorrow. It was freezing cold today. I love Tony talking about how his feet froze by the third inning. Tony is kind of a funny guy when it comes to warmth.
You mean?
Would you not agree?
Well, he was that one day we went to the stadium at Petco, and it was like June, and it was 68 degrees, and he was wearing winter gear. Yeah.
We have a picture. I'd have to find it again, but there's a picture of he and I talking up in the press box, because we used to do the show from the press box on home game days.
Which is crazy.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I loved it.
It was fun, but yeah, we don't do that any longer. That was when I was doing the pre- and the post-game show, so I would be down at the stadium. Tony'd be down there. We would do a whole bunch of show in the press box, and early in the season, Tony would be wearing an Eskimo jacket,
yeah,
and a knit cap, beanie,
gloves.
It looked like we were doing the show in Siberia, for heaven's sakes.
It did.
Tony gets cold.
He does.
He's just a guy that gets cold.
But it is cold in Chicago.
So. It is cold in Chicago, where the Padre bats were a little quiet as well. Quieted because of Shoto Imanaga's 7 1/3. 3-1 Cubs barely hang on, though. Jake had the chance. 2nd and 3rd, 2 outs in the 9th. But, oh, the mighty Jake struck out today. That's how it ended today in Chicago. All right. Our interview of the week is with Alden Gonzalez from ESPN. Took place, I believe, yesterday when the Padres were 7-0, not 7-1.
Yes.
But some good thoughts on the Padres and the season coming up. And also, Alden has a little update on the team you love to hate, just north of here.
He also talks about Jackson Merrill more.
A lot of Jackson Merrill in this as well. So, Scraby, let's get to it. From
the 855, we do have our guy, Alden Gonzalez, on the line. Alden, ESPN. How are you, my friend? It's been a little bit.
I'm doing great, Tony. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, man. Now, listen, I know I haven't seen you in San Diego yet, so I'm going to assume you've been up in the L.A. area watching the other undefeated team in Major League Baseball.
Yes, sir.
From the vantage point of Los Angeles, kind of viewing down south to San Diego, was there any conversation about what the Padres have gotten off to up that way in Los Angeles?
I don't know about from the players as much, but it's definitely been talked about around town.
Just in the city, yeah.
No doubt. I mean, I don't think there's not a whole lot of precedent, and I know it's still early, but there's not much precedent for two teams in all of Major League Baseball both starting out at least 7-0. I think the last time that happened was in 2003. But like, let alone the same division, let alone the two teams that went through a really hard fought playoff series last fall, let alone two teams that are obviously rivals, right? And I think while a lot of people expected that the Dodgers were going to be really good, I don't know about 8-0 good, but this was maybe more expected from the Dodgers. It's been really cool to see from the Padres because, I mean, Tony, you and I have talked about this before. I thought they were the most complete team in baseball going into last October. And then they have an underwhelming off season, and you wonder if they're going to be able to rise to that level again. And I know it's incredibly early still, but there's just been some really encouraging signs. And it lets you know that for all the hype about the Dodgers, I mean, the Padres probably aren't going anywhere.
Hope you're right. Alden Gonzalez, our guest here from ESPN. You guys at ESPN rated the Padres 3rd in the early season power rankings. You were you wrote the little piece on the Padres. Can a week set the table like this for an entire season? How should we be couching it? I mean, people are running away with themselves, I got to tell you, Alden. I mean, they're pretty excited. And it's hard to dissuade them because, as you said, I mean, they've been hitting. They've been pitching. They've been fielding. They've been really running the bases incredible. Managing, they got the pitching and hitting coach back, the consistency, the continuity. There isn't really anything to be concerned about yet.
There really isn't. And I don't want to be a wet blanket here, but it's 1 week.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we often lose sight of how long these seasons are. And I don't know if 1 week in late March and early April is any different from 1 week in June, July, August, when a team can go on a run like this. And again, like, I'm not trying to temper excitement too much, because it is really cool to see, like I said, but I mean, it's 1 week. Things happen. So many things happen, good in good ways, in bad ways, over the course of a year. Guys go up and down hitting wise. I mean, Luis Arraez went how many days without a hit, right? I mean, he's going to hit. Other guys are going to come back down to earth. We'll see. I think the key with the Padres, is going to be, the guys around the superstars.
Yeah.
Because the depth for them is the question, right? So how are they supporting the likes of Manny and Tatis and Merrill and Bogarts and Arias and, you know, in the rotation, Cease and Darvish, the guys around them, how are they doing? So far, it's looked great, but let's see if they can carry this over.
Alden Gonzalez joins us here on Gwynn and Chris and Alden. Jackson Merrill, he is locked up for the next 9 years for the Padres. What were your thoughts when you got the word of this deal and you know, the years and the amount?
I mean, first off, like, if you're a Padres fan, like it's so cool for you to be able to embrace a kid like Jackson Merrill, who, like, has all the ability, but also just seems to, like, really get it at 21 and seems to be, like, so secure in himself. I was shocked by the contract, frankly. Like, the Padres bought out 5 or 6 of his free agent years. That's rare for somebody who is that talented, who plays, frankly, 2 premium positions, shortstop and center field. This is a great deal for them. It allows him to test the market again at age 32 or 33, which is fine, but it's not ideal. Players usually want to retest the market at 29, 28, 30. So for the Padres to get those years secured, those extra years in free agency, I think it's huge. But also, like, I watched some of the clips of what Jackson Merrill said at his press conference yesterday morning. It was very refreshing to, like, hear him talk through this. Like, he understands that he probably could have gotten more money by waiting. But he talked a lot about how he just feels home in San Diego, and he's in a place where he's comfortable and he's going to make enough money, and he doesn't feel the need to sort of chase anything, because he feels like he's got everything right now and it's a good situation and he wants to stay there longer. Like, that's a very refreshing thing to hear. A lot of agents would scoff at that. It's what he wanted to do, and it's what felt right. And credit to him to just sort of having that acknowledgement within himself.
Alden, your cohort, Buster Olney, was on with us a little earlier this week. I think the Padres were 4-0 at the time. But he brought up something about, you know, as the season goes along, and you're right, we don't know how it's all going to play out. But one thing he likes about this Padre club, as opposed to maybe other clubs out there, is that they have proven maybe to themselves and probably to others that they don't fear the Dodgers in any way, shape, or form. Obviously, having taken them right to the end last year and having beat them a few years ago. Is this something that's going to serve them well going forward? Because you've got to believe you can beat the Dodgers in order to eventually beat them in the end.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think I'm pretty sure they love all the praise that the Dodgers are getting, because it's probably fueling them. They love all the attention being elsewhere, because it's probably something for them to rally around. This is not just, like, even a last year thing. And you guys have been a lot more close to this than I have, but for the last, like, 3 years, it seemed like every time the Padres played the Dodgers, they played at a different level. Like, they elevated their game. The Dodgers noticed this. Their problem over the years has at times been playing down to their competition, and that's on the negative end. But when they played the Dodgers, they were more crisp. They were more engaged. At least that's what it looked like for me and a lot of other people. They like that environment. They like trying to take down the you know, what Peter Seidler described as the dragon up the freeway, famously. I can't wait until they play for the first time this year. And I'm sure that games 4 and 5 of last year's DS left a very bitter taste in their mouth. One that has been there for the last 5 months at this point. And the way it happened for an offense like that to go on a scoreless inning streak the way it did to end the season, to me, was stunning. Because, not to belabor something that's in the past, but that was an offense that I thought was immune to slumps like that because it was so contact-oriented and so versatile. And that's been sitting with them for a long time. And that could be something that pushes them this year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're a ways away from it, but if the Padres are fortunate enough to get to that point, that will be something that will come back up again, and they're gonna have to respond to it. Alan, I gotta ask you, since you have been up that way, has there been anything that has surprised you from what you've seen from the Dodgers to this point?
Well, so they haven't had either Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman or both in their lineup for 6 out of their 8 games. And they have continued to produce. But I guess we knew that because we knew that their offense was going to be deep. It surprised me how often they've come back in games. They've trailed in 6 out of 8 games. I think they've won. Obviously, they've won all of those. And, you know, Max Muncy talked about that last night, that, you know, that trait of being able to, like, continually overcome adversity that pushed them last fall is kind of carrying over until now. Like, they still embody a lot of those traits, and they've taken a lot of enthusiasm from that. You know, Tyler Glasnow and Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Dustin May are 3 guys who were forgotten about in that rotation because everybody wants to talk about Blake Snell, Roki Sasaki. Those 3 guys look really dangerous early in the year. On the other side of that, there's concern about Roki Sasaki. I don't know how much. It's only been 2 starts, and they knew that he was going to be a work in progress. But maybe he might be a little bit more of a work in progress than they thought. And it's going to be really interesting to see what he looks like moving forward, and if it continues to look the way it did those first 2 times out, what they do with him. Do they send him to the minor leagues? The good thing about them is they have a lot of pitching depth, so they can afford to do that, especially when Tony Gonsolin gets back. But those are the main ones that stick out to me so far.
No doubt. Alden, as always, man, look forward to finally being in the same building with you at some point. Appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. Take care.
Alden. Alden Gonzalez, ESPN. What an honor to be named our interview of the week.
Yeah, such an honor.
You think he's thinking about that today?
I think he, like, when we started playing it, he kind of went, oh, I feel important.
I better be good because I need to win Interview of the Week. He beat out some heavyweights this week.
He did, Buster Olney.
Including Buster Olney and was it Kaylin?
Oh, Kaylin Kyle, yes.
She was great.
She was.
The young lady from the MLS soccer coverage.
Yeah, season pass studio analyst.
There's a lot coming up this weekend. I mean, not only Padres continuing the series with the Cubs tomorrow and Sunday, but you got the Final Four tomorrow in San Antonio. And you also, tomorrow night, get on out and see the San Diego FC. Seattle Sounders are in town for a little Major League Soccer.
I was going to make a sounder sound effect, but I don't know what a sounder does.
I think it's a
sound.
Yeah, I'm not sure. South Carolina cruising at the moment. Fourth quarter, 7 minutes left. 61-48, they lead Texas. UCLA and UConn still to come on the women's side. Scraby Chronicle still to come here. On 97.3, The Fan. Enjoy the weekend, everyone.